Planting a tree or digging a foundation, contact One Call of Wyoming at 1-800-849-2476 or 811. Call 2 business days before you dig. It's free and required by law. Repairs to utilities can be expensive. Cutting a gas line or electrical line can be deadly. No matter if it's weekend yard work or major construction, call One Call of Wyoming at 1-800-849-2476 or 811. Sponsored by Public Service Commission, Wyoming Association of Broadcasters, and this station.
Hi, this is Wyatt Gardner, physician assistant with Shared Memorial Hospital Same Day Health and Imaging. We're all spending more time outdoors. Don't let a minor injury or illness keep you from enjoying Sheridan County and the Bighorns. Same Day Health and Imaging is open 7 days a week, Monday through Friday, 6:30 to 5:30, and weekends from 9 to 4. We offer prompt care for unexpected medical needs, illnesses, injuries, labs, x-rays, mammograms, and more. Located between Walmart and Wild Vision, just look for the white flags on Sugarland Drive. Same Day appointments available at SheridanSameDay.com.
Have you heard of the Sunrise Ruby? A 25-carat gem hiding in plain sight, quietly kept by European aristocrats, until it shocked the world, selling for $30 million. Named after a 13th century poem, its pigeon's blood red color and flawless clarity stunned experts. Rubies are romantic, passionate, mysterious, and unlike the Sunrise Ruby, surprisingly affordable. Find your own gem at Legacy Diamond and Gems, where every piece tells a story. Visit us at 11 North Main, downtown Sheridan.
This is Public Pulse, your information and conversation program, brought to you by First Federal Bank and Trust. You can voice your opinion by calling 672-KROE. That's 672-5763. Now, your host for Public Pulse, Floyd Whiting.
Tuesday, July 15th, and from Wyoming's Emerald City, I'm Floyd Whiting, and this is Public Pulse. A beautiful gray morning outside. Today, I am joined by the president of the Bighorn Arts Collective and executive director of the Britton Museum, Kendra Heimbach, and founding member of the Bighorn Arts Collective and executive director of the Wyoming Performing Arts and Education Center, Aaron Butler. Wow, so many titles, ladies.
It's a lot.
We're just keeping you on your toes this morning, Floyd.
Got to throw it out there. First off, how's it going out to Britton?
Really good. You know, summer is peak season for us, so we see 60 to 70% of our visitors between Memorial Day and Labor Day, so it's hopping right now, yeah. Which is a lot of fun. We've got some great exhibits. The bistro's going well. A lot of special events that are happening out there, both with the museum and also private events. So it's summer in the Bighorns. It's great.
I imagine having everybody out there, it's almost kind of like a homecoming, you know, to an extent. I'm sure you've got reoccurring clients who like to come out there, look around and see things. And maybe they take a break during the winter. I know a lot of folks do. So is it kind of like that? Like when it really starts bumping up, is there some electricity around the Britton?
Yeah, most definitely. And we've got some long timers who come every single year and they've got stories. And sometimes I have to remind myself, like, you know, this is why we're here. We're here to preserve these stories in this part of the West. And so, you know, we've got folks that they were wranglers at Teepee Ranch and they can just sit down and tell a story for 2 hours. And it's great. It is like a homecoming. It's a family out there.
You ever been to one of those living museums?
Yeah, I have. It's been a while, though. Yeah.
Those are an interesting concept.
Most definitely. Yeah. You know, and we actually, as we've got historic outbuildings and the Quarter Circle A right there, we talk often about how are we interpreting these spaces and what's a kind of different perspective that we can take on these stories? And we've never decided to go into a living history model, but we do. That idea comes up more often than you'd think.
Just put an old cowboy in a chair and have him tell the stories of life.
Yeah,
I think that'd be fantastic. Aaron, how are things out at the Wyo?
Good. Yeah. I mean, unlike Kendra, summertime is less busy for us. So that's good. We just wrapped up June and... Well, announced July. It's good.
It's been busy. How do you feel about this last season? Pretty good?
Yeah, it was awesome. You know, we had so many people come through. We did this funny little report card where we sort of, I don't know, see what we accomplished this last season.
Like a self-evaluation.
Yeah, and sort of realized we have hosted over 140 events, which actually is about 3 events a week.
Wow.
Which is a lot.
It's almost as if you just realized
When you really do the math, you're like, oh man. So it's really, really nice to have a little bit of break, not a break, but just extra breathing room.
And, you know, I was talking to somebody about the busy season of certain jobs around, and sometimes, you know, you feel that you go 6 months just work, and getting everything done, and you're excited about it. But at the end of it, you take a breath, and it's almost kind of like those situations where you've driven hundreds of miles, and then you're like, I don't think I was awake for the last 50, and all of a sudden I'm home.
It's so true. And we're really excited, actually, about Shakespeare in the Park this week.
Oh,
so
yeah.
Yes. Outside of Third Thursday, which will be happening on the same night, unfortunately, but there's opportunity to do both. Shakespeare in the Park will be presenting As You Like It, which is one of Shakespeare's comedies. You know, one of his more fun shows. Yeah. It's been a minute since we've gotten a comedy, so that'll be great.
If you've never seen Shakespeare in the Park, it's a very unique experience.
It's so
fun. I think grab the kids, head on down. I think this is going to be one of those events that they end up remembering forever. All right, Kendra, can you paint us a picture of what the Collective Arts Festival is all about for someone who's never actually attended?
Yeah, most definitely, Floyd. So the Collective Arts Festival, it's presented by the Bighorn Arts Collective. We'll get into that a little bit more of who that comprises. But the Collective Arts Festival is a free, family-friendly event celebrating the arts, and it's going to be held on Saturday, August 9th from 12:30 to 6:30 p.m. at Whitney Commons in downtown Sheridan. We'll have a headliner, Damn Tall Buildings, taking the stage at 5 p.m. But the entire day, it's going to bring together music, visual arts, literature, hands-on crafts for all ages. It's just it's a fun day celebrating the arts in the heart of Sheridan.
Aaron, this is only the second festival. Mm-hmm. The inaugural was last year.
Right.
I can remember how excited everybody was because mm-hmm. this isn't exactly the first arts festival itself. It was just
True.
The first collective arts festival.
Yeah.
So how did last year's event kind of inform what we're going to see this year? Were there lessons learned?
Oh, for sure.
Yeah, definitely. Yeah,
every
Always.
Year. Every year. The thing that happened last year was that as we came together as a group and recognized that what has been happening, which was celebrate the arts, and this still kind of is that same thing, but it was more of it was either a week-long effort or a month-long effort for all of our organizations to put on separate events. So it felt a little bit like we weren't collaborating as well as we could and No. offering one big celebration that the thing we wanted to do, which was really come together in a better way, which is how sort of this one day arts festival came about, this idea of doing it this way versus spreading events out through the course of a month or a week. And so, yeah, last year we learned some things. Mm-hmm. It was fun. We had a great turnout. This year we're excited to try, some new stuff.
Yeah. Yeah. I think we've got a couple new things, and it really, we looked back at last year, what went well, what could we have done better? And so we've changed the configuration a little bit more. It's all concentrated around that, area in Whitney Commons by the gazebo and the splash pad. So that the artisan village and the performers and everybody who's participating gets to be a part of that kind of that energy and the vibe of the event. And then we also, I think a really big way that we changed our thinking and how we were organizing the event was continuing to come back to, as Aaron said, how are we collaborating? And so last year we still kind of had this lineup of, okay, this performance or this demonstration is presented by this actual organization. And this year we said, you know, let's strip away our titles of our organizations and let's come together and think about what can we all collectively bring to the community that we couldn't as our individual organizations. And so, really kind of blended that planning process and in a really collaborative way. And so, you'll find that we've got a full lineup throughout the day in a demonstration tent on the performance stage of artists and performers and creatives that have some ties to all of our organizations. But really, we just put everything out on the table and said, what could we do if we all just started dreaming about who we could bring into Sheridan? And I think the community will like what we came up with.
E pluribus unum, out of many, one.
Yeah.
I really like that idea. Now, this one's for both of you. Why did Sheridan Arts Groups actually feel it was time to move to this collective? Is that because, and the only reason I asked that, kind of expanding on what we were talking about, was what, you know, I imagine there's some people out there who are thinking, you know, I liked the week-long events. I always had something to do. I liked, you know, maybe once a weekend stopping in and seeing what's going on the Britain, what's going on at the YO, things like that. So was it just the collaboration where you sat around and you were like, you know what, let's just do this? Or was there some, you know, in the past, miscommunications, people were missing things, stuff like that?
You know, I think there was a, from our perception as the organizers, we felt there was a fatigue from the community when we had that long drawn out, either over an intense week of events or a month long. And so, and I know then there's been events in Sheridan in the past that have brought together some collaborative entities for a one day event. And so we just, as we continued year after year producing Celebrate the Arts, we wanted to try something new. And, you know, and as someone who is, you know, still relatively new to the community, I feel like I'm starting to get my feet here and set down in a foundation. But I hear all these stories from longtime Sheridan folks about all the different ways that the arts entities have partnered in the past. Mm-hmm. And, you know, there's always this cyclical nature to life. And as there's change in leadership and there's change in the makeup of the community, it's like things repeat themselves. And I think all of us in this current iteration of the Bighorn Arts Collective have thought about how do we make some lasting impact and create a formalized collaboration between our organizations so that when we are not here leading these organizations, there's a foundation to be built upon. Yeah. And we don't come back to, okay, how do we collaborate? What does partnership look like? And how do we put on an event for the community? And really just trying to create something lasting that can build beyond us in the future.
Why reinvent the wheel over and over and over? Yeah. And when you eventually pass those torches, you know that you're passing something on that essentially has an outline, you know, a standard operating procedure in a way. Now, how did all the organizations kind of come together? When it came to the other festival, Celebrate the Arts, were people already pretty much kind of set? This is who's participating. So when we develop the collaborative, we'll just reach out to them. I mean, is that kind of how that was set?
Gosh, what a funny thing. I mean, it's not as black and white as that, right?
Mm-hmm.
So yes, there was Celebrate the Arts for many, many years, and lots of different folks. You know, the Chamber, I think, was maybe the beginning quite long ago, and then it sort of went away, and then Kim Love was the one who really was passionate about bringing that idea back, and he was sort of the driver behind that, mm-hmm. and then he encouraged everybody else to start participating. So I don't know that there was one organization that was really overseeing the efforts. It just was knowing that it was important to participate in.
Mm-hmm.
And then this idea of the collective, they all kind of came together.
Yeah. It was born out of, so Aaron actually sent an email to all of the arts organizations who had, you know, kind of been involved in Celebrate the Arts. And this was back in 2020, I want to say.
Oh, wow.
And there was an opportunity to bring a facilitator into the community through the Wyoming Arts Alliance to do, they called it a MAP program. I don't even know what the acronym stands for, mm-hmm. but essentially we had a facilitator work with us, and we went through this whole planning process, kind of like a strategic plan, but thinking broadly about the health of the community from an economic development standpoint, from the creative arts sector standpoint. And what was born out of that facilitated session with all of our organizations that are currently in the collective was this idea, like, let's formalize this partnership, and where could we go with this? And that's still in process. And so the organizations who are participating are the Brinton Museum, the Weill Theater and Weill Play, Sage Community Arts, the UCross Foundation, Nalgene Center, and Sheridan Public Arts Committee. And so we have formed the Bighorn Arts Collective, and one of our initiatives is presenting the Collective Arts Festival. But we have a broader goal and a broader mission as the collective, and that's to leverage our artistic resources for the betterment of the Sheridan community, the Sheridan County community. And so we don't know what that looks like yet. We meet monthly, and right now we're in the heart of presenting this festival because it's taking place on August 9th from 12:30 to 6:30 p.m. at the Whitney Commons. But we want to look at, okay, how do we continue to leverage our resources and create economic opportunities, creative opportunities, opportunities within the arts in Sheridan County. We want people's help, but also see where we go.
That's amazing. Laying the track right in front of the train, blazing new territory. I really like that idea. I think it's absolutely amazing. All right. I do have to take a quick commercial break. We're going to have more with our Bighorn Arts Collective right after this. You're listening to Public Pulse on 930 KROE at 103.9 FM. Sheridan.
Another great summer event is coming up soon, the Sheridan County Fair.
Fair and livestock exhibitions are the foundation for agricultural promotion and a time to remind everyone of the key role that agriculture plays in our local economy and daily lives. It provides opportunities for youth and adult education.
The First Federal Bank and Trust family would like to extend congratulations to all the youth who work so hard all year long to be able to show at the County Fair. Community is the heart of First Federal.
First Federal Bank and Trust, true community banking, member FDIC.
Want to recap the weekend and check out the photo galleries, video interviews, watch the rodeo parade if you didn't get a chance? Well, you can. Visit the Everything Rodeo recap page on SheridanMedia.com, presented by Range. You'll see thousands of photos from this past weekend and week. Video interviews, you can watch the parade again if you didn't catch it. Just go to SheridanMedia.com, click on the Everything Rodeo recap page. It's brought to you by Range. Live your West life.
The Sheridan Farmers Market is back for another great season at Whitney Commons Park. You'll find local produce, meat, eggs, coffee, baked goods, and outstanding locally handcrafted items this Thursday and every Thursday from 5 to 7 p.m. through September 18th. See the best our hardworking local producers have to offer at the Sheridan Farmers Market, Thursday evenings in Whitney Commons Park, sponsored in part by Sheridan Media. And remember, please leave your pets at home.
Up where the air is thin and the pines whisper secrets, there's a place called Spiro Wigwam, 30 miles up the Redgrade, at 8,300 feet in the heart of the Bighorns, where the trail calls to those with a cowboy soul. Saddle up for half-day or all-day guided horseback rides, perfect for families, first-timers, even the seasoned cowhand. So experience the way the West was meant to be, horseback. Call Spiro Wigwam or go online at SpiroWigwam.com to come ride where the trails touch the sky.
This public service message is presented by BHJ Property Management at 101 South Main.
Get outside in fun, healthy ways on Sheridan Community Land Trust Community Trails. With 30 plus miles on the Soldier Ridge Trail System, Redgrade Trails, and the Green Room, plus more than a dozen access sites on the Tongue River Water Trail, it's easier than ever before to go from your front door to the outdoors in Sheridan County. Get your maps and nature guides at SheridanCLT.org.
Good morning. Welcome back to Public Pulse. I'm Floyd Whiting. This morning, I'm joined by the president of the Bighorn Arts Collective and executive director of the Britain Museum, Kendra Heimbach, founding member of the Bighorn Arts Collective and executive director of the YO Performing Arts and Education Center, Aaron Butler. Beginning at 12:30, Saturday, August 9th, in the Whitney Commons, The Collective Arts Festival will begin and feature an artisan village, a storybook garden, food, wine, and other librations. A big part of the festival will be the music, the readings, and poetry. Can you tell us about this headliner? And I'm going to go to you, Aaron, because you kind of found these folks, right? Because they have been at the WIO.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yep. And I had a curious little question, just kind of off topic. When they came and performed at the WIO, is this when you spoke to them about this? The Damn Tall Buildings.
No. So they've been at the WIO. So Damn Tall Buildings, as you mentioned, they've been here twice now. So 2 years ago, they performed, they had their own set. And then this past year, they performed with the Two Tracks. Really fun, high energy group out of New York, actually. That's where they're based now. You know, sort of this bluegrass Americana vibe, but it's three of them. And you wouldn't believe there's only three. You know, the amount of music they can produce from just three of them around one single microphone is phenomenal.
Something about a trio.
And they're so good and they're so fun. So anyway, when we were talking about this year's festival, you know, we really want to make it appealing as we can to everyone. So we wanted this. We kept talking about this idea of a headliner and what did that look like for us and what can we afford and who's going to be around. And, you know, we're so new to the festival scene. There's, you know, there's always festivals happening everywhere. So how do we entice someone who's going to be good for our community, but also be like a really great opportunity for lots of people? So we sort of came up with this idea of Damn Tall Buildings because they are, number one, really awesome to work with. Mm-hmm. They're
that,
so
that,
nice.
That makes a world of difference.
Yeah. And they're sort of new on the scene. They're not as established as some other musicians are, and maybe aren't already tied into other festivals that are happening during the summertime. Are becoming well known in Sheridan. So they, you know, we went back and forth with them, and to their credit, they said, okay, let's give it a whirl. And yeah, they're going to be our headliner, and we're excited. We're really excited to have them. I think they'll bring this really, I've said energy so many times, but they just bring this really great vibe. And I think people really look forward to seeing them at the end. And at the WIO, you can't dance to them.
Yeah.
Right.
Right. But out in the, you know, in the grass, for sure.
You and I have had this discussion before about the only thing that the WIO is missing is a dance floor.
Yeah.
Yep. Yeah. If we get a dance floor in there, holy cow, watch out.
And they're awesome.
Now, besides that headliner, mm-hmm. the Damn Tall Buildings, what other performances are you really excited to showcase this year?
We have a really full afternoon of performances on what we're referring to as the main stage. We're opening with a little bighorn band at 12:30, which is this really cool, kind of probably many folks aren't familiar with them, but they're from Buffalo, and they're a jazz trio. So we'll be excited to welcome them to open our festival. Followed by that, we have a group called Crown Summer. They've changed their name many times.
Young budding artists
that were at once called Jim the Jagweeds, which I think they still want to hang on to, but
we encouraged a different name for the festival lineup.
Right. So that group is James Kraft, Emmett Kraft, and Kellen Medill, who won the sort of junior division in Stars of Tomorrow.
Oh, wow.
And they're a talented group of young people. And speaking of young people, we'll also have the Sheridan County Youth Choir presenting some of their songs, as well as Oliver Jr. They're going to do some encores.
Oh, really? That's fantastic.
Yeah, which is fun.
Worked for it hard enough and long enough.
And you know, that's so funny about that music is when you watch that show, I was like, did I watch this 1,000 times as a kid? Because how do I know these
how
words?
How do I know these songs? Yeah.
Like,
so familiar.
Yeah,
yes.
It was wild. We'll also have a group called La Sirene, which consists of Anastasia Harbor, Taylor Phillips, and Fred Cerna. So that'll be great. And I will let Kendra talk a little bit about Barbara Smith, but the other group prior to the headliner, which I'm extra excited about, is Grace Cannon Wallace and her husband Ian are writing a kids musical called Dinosaur Rock Musical.
She told me about
it's
that.
It's going to be amazing.
I can't wait.
Oh, man.
So it opens at the YO in early September, but what we'll be presenting is sort of a sneak peek into some of that music.
Oh, fantastic.
Yeah. Yeah.
That's great.
Which will be really fun.
Both of those individuals, two of my favorite people in this area.
Yeah, they're fabulous.
I mean, fantastic people.
Yep.
Now, Barb Smith.
Yeah.
She taught me how to write.
I love that, Floyd.
She did. She was my English teacher in college, my first one. She's the one that put me in charge of the newspaper and basically kind of set my moral compass in a direction, told me what a true journalist is, and then kicked me in the butt and sent me on my way. I liked her so much, I ended up spending an extra semester up there.
Yeah.
Just to keep learning from her. She is going to appear. She is Wyoming's Poet Laureate. Tell me a little bit about her.
Yeah, so we are really excited to bring Barbara Smith here. You know, I wish I would have taken a writing class from Barbara Smith. I first discovered her when she was named Wyoming's Poet Laureate, and she read her Interstate 80 poem. And I grew up in Green River, and I'm very familiar with I-80, yeah. And it resonated. And I was just like, who is this fantastic woman who can just really paint a picture and help you? She just places you in her settings, what she's writing about. And so she is so talented. And as you look at the lineup for the festival, you'll see we're trying to hit all of these different areas and expose the community to everything that the arts encompass. And so we're happy to have Barbara Smith here. So she'll be doing a little interlude, a reading between the Oliver Jr. Encore and the Dino Rock preview, and she'll do a reading on the main stage. And then she's also going to be here in the demo tent, and she's going to be offering a writing workshop called Mining Your Memories. And she's going to walk participants through really tapping into your memories and using your personal experiences to really strengthen your writing. And so that is taking place. Let me refer to my notes here, because I think she's second up in the demo tent lineup. Yeah, she'll be on at 1:30 p.m., and anybody can just show up and participate in that and tap into this wonderful, wonderful resource we have in our state.
Absolutely. Wonderful woman. Fantastic writer. She's got her heart in the perfect place. She taught me so much. One of the things that she taught me, I kind of came in a bit of a stonewall when it came to Webster's dictionary adding certain words and phrases. And I believe it was 2002 they were going to add LOL. And I thought, this is just a travesty. But she pulled me aside and she said, that is one of the most beautiful things about the English language. Mm. It evolves. It yeah. changes.
Yep.
And we have to remain liquid to change with it. Mm. And I thought, you know what? I've kept that with me since that day and many other lessons as well. When you came to kind of booking all these great local artists with big external groups, how did you decide to balance this? I mean, as you're looking at, who are we going to have this year? I wouldn't ask why, because Dam Tall Buildings is an amazing group, and you're looking for that electricity mm-hmm. that they can really produce. But how do you balance that out?
Yeah, I don't know that we know. I mean...
it's one of those things you got to eyeball it, right?
It's, well, this year feels right.
Right, yeah. right. I mean... You go back and forth, you wonder who's available. I mean, that is a big part of it. Of course, it's the middle of summertime and lots of people are busy. You want to make it, we talked a lot about wanting to provide people access to folks like Dam Tall Buildings you would not experience here otherwise, but also giving our local performers a stage and an opportunity to perform. A lot of these folks, like I will say Lost Siren, which is a local group, a lot of people haven't seen yet.
Yeah.
So we were hoping to create something kind of like that, groups that maybe are local, but do again provide this thing that people don't see often. A unique experience for sure. And then, of course, having the opportunity for the kids to get on stage, it's always fun.
That one's, yeah, that's a gimme, right?
Yeah, like, yeah. That's an easy one.
And when those kids worked so hard on Oliver Jr., mm-hmm. you know, even just the run for it, wasn't enough.
Yeah.
No, let's get them up on stage.
Sure.
Let's have them use that work that they put into that. Now, for the kiddies, because a lot of families are going to be attending this. I actually attended it last year. It was fantastic to see so many children out there.
Right.
Being exposed to so much art.
Yeah.
You know, you had little kids fascinated with pottery wheels, just watching artists do what they do and create. Painters setting up workshops where little kids could just sit down, tap into their imagination, and go to town, which I thought was absolutely beautiful. What kinds of art demos and workshops will we have for the kids? And then we'll get into the adults.
Yeah, so we've got the Creation Station is a hub of the festival, and it's going to be under the gazebo, so get some shade, and central to the event. And Sage Community Arts is helping to organize this component of the festival, and
they're great with kids.
And I heard that from them. I think they've like quadrupled their summer camps this year.
Mm-hmm.
It's just wild
mm-hmm.
how many kids that are going through Sage this summer. It's really cool. But they'll have art supplies, and kids can just get their hands dirty. And it's mostly two-dimensional arts, but everything, you know, acrylics, watercolors, pastels, colored pencils, just experiment with different mediums, and unlimited supply. So kids can, they could sit down for 5 hours if they wanted and create art in the Creation Station. And then we're also going to have a sidewalk mural area. And so next to the Creation Station, we'll have sidewalk chalk out, and people can create larger scale art on the ground if they'd like to. And then we're really excited to welcome and invite the public library to participate and partner in this event
fantastic.
This year. Yeah, so the library is going to set up a storybook garden and have a really comfy place set up where families can just kind of take a break if they want to, sit down, read some books, lounge in the storybook garden. But I think that the librarians are also planning some stories, you know, some readings and some performances and things, and really just going to create a really warm and inviting place for kids all throughout the festival.
That is so amazing. I love that. You know, getting the library involved. Great group of individuals out
yeah.
there who really understand what the library should be all about. And I've gotten to know those ladies over the course of my time doing the show. And talk about dedication. So I think that's a fantastic inclusion. Now, when it comes to adults as they walk through here, the entire time I was there last year, I was not bored. You could go from one area to another and watch an artist work. And for me, as longtime listeners and Aaron, you know, I absolutely love to see the process. Tell me about these demos.
Yeah, so we've got our demonstration tent, and this year, and this is one thing that we changed just a little bit from last year. So it's a demonstration tent, and you can watch, and but you can also participate in that space too. So we've got Will Lopez kicking the day off in the demo tent, and he's a local ceramicist. He's our curator of education and engagement at the museum, a very talented potter, and so he's going to bring out his wheel, throw some pots, but also invite the onlookers to come be a part of that creative process. He does this really, I'll probably butcher what he actually calls it, but it's kind of this reductive process where he throws a pot and then he uses some tools and invites people to start kind of carving away. And he'll talk more about that process when he's doing that demo. So he'll start us off. And then following that, we've got Barbara Smith doing Mining Your Memories. After that, we're going to welcome Damn Tall Buildings to the demo tent. And this was another component of us inviting them as a headliner. They were up for engaging with the audience in a little bit more intimate way. And so they're doing a tall tales, storytelling and songwriting workshop.
Cool.
And then we'll close out the demo tent space in with a paint and sip. The paint post is coming in, and they're going to lead that for us. And that is the only part of the festival that you need to pre-register for. It's free. But if you go to the paint post website, you can sign up to participate in the paint and sip. And so Alex Johnson from the paint post will lead everybody through a guided painting session. No experience necessary. All supplies are provided.
How fantastic is that?
Yeah.
You know, somebody who may not have had the time to ever learn how to do it, but maybe they just kept it inside. There's a painter, there's an artist in there. I just need the opportunity and maybe just a little lesson, you know, just makes me wonder how many starting lines will be set up that day. That's fantastic. That sounds fun. Now, what can you share about the Artisan Village? When I say Artisan Village, you know, a lot of people may get an image in their mind. Is this kind of like a, I don't want to say like a market or a shop, but you can walk up and down and look at the works?
Yeah, mm-hmm. It is. Yeah, market's actually a decent word to use to describe it.
Yeah. Yeah, it's exactly what you might imagine. But lots of course, again, local artisans, people that you may not even realize are artists or have, yeah. You know, have that skill or like to sell their wares. Always beautiful things, always fun discussions and conversations. And this year, Kendra's already mentioned, last year it was a little far afield, so we're trying to keep everything a little closer together so it feels more cohesive. So
you guys are not going to be using that large open field off to the side. We're going to keep it kind of around that central stage.
Yep, correct.
Okay.
Right. Yeah. Right. Yeah.
That's actually fantastic.
It is.
I like
so,
that idea.
Yeah, you can wander the Artisan Village while also taking in the music on the main mm-hmm, stage. Mm-hmm. And that was probably, the largest piece of feedback we received last year was it just felt really spread out. And we felt that too as organizers. As we were gauging just participation, there were a lot of people from the community out, but you just couldn't necessarily quantify it or feel it.
Yeah.
And so this time we're bringing it all closer together. So yeah, the Artisan Village, I think we're nearly booked up. We've got 25 spots and we also have some interest from some folks out of the community too. It's nice to see that we're starting to get some name recognition. And right now it's a first come first serve to get your booth. And I don't know. We might look at having to like jury artists into the Artisan Village in the future if we continue to grow and demand. And
that would be amazing.
Yeah, it'd be great.
Yeah, people from all over the country mm-hmm. coming to the Arts Festival. I think that would be great. I do have to take a quick commercial break. We're going to have more with our Collective Arts Festival right after this. You're listening to Public Pulse on 930 KROE and 103.9 FM Sheridan.
Need a bank that works on your schedule?
At First Federal Bank and Trust, you can open personal checking and savings accounts anytime, online or through the First Federal app.
It's quick, simple, and designed to fit your life.
And as we celebrate 90 years of community commitment, we're proud to keep making banking easier for you. Open an account today at efirstfederal.bank or on the app.
First Federal Bank and Trust, 90 years of putting our community first.
Member FDIC.
Have you ever considered a gift certificate to Eye Care of the Bighorns for someone who has vision correction? Many companies don't provide eye insurance, which makes the burden of annual eye exams and glasses or contact lenses an out-of-pocket expense. Eye Care of the Bighorns also carries your favorite sunglasses and athletic eye protection from names you love, like Maui Jim, Costa, and more. Stop by Eye Care of the Bighorns or call 307-674-0444 today.
Hi, this is Jill Bates with the Bates Team at Best. It's summertime, and while kids are out of school and vacations are planned, we all know that summer gets busy in a hurry. If you're looking to buy or sell a home, now is the best time, as more people are looking and being active now than in any other season. Whether it's fall with school or winter and the holidays, there's always lots going on, so summer is a great time to make a move. Best of all, we know how busy you are, and our job is to make your life easier, meet your real estate goals, and save your summer. Call us today at 675-BEST or visit us at bestwy.net. Make it a great day.
Rapp Plumbing and Heating has been serving Sheridan since 2010. With all these years of experience, you can rely on them to handle all of your plumbing and heating needs. From new construction to remodels, repairs of existing systems to retrofitting, Rapp Plumbing and Heating can do it all. They are professional, clean, and courteous. Call 429-1196 for all your plumbing or heating needs. As we like to say, if you find a leak, let Dan take a peek.
This is the captain at Captain Clean. Did you know your carpet acts like a giant air filter, collecting allergens, bacteria, and all sorts of other treasures? Let our experts at Captain Clean prolong the life of your carpet, protect your indoor air quality, and make your carpet proud to call itself carpet again. Call Captain Clean today, 672-0726, and schedule your next carpet cleaning. Captain Clean, affordable choices for healthy living.
We clean more for you.
Wild Rodeo Hangover got you feeling down? Well, come to the Sheridan County Fair, July 26th through August 3rd. We'll have Christmas in July, mutton busting with some junior bull riders, and check out all the great static exhibits, as the exhibit hall will stay open later. Get entered into the Open Class exhibits this year. Great premiums to those who come away with the blue ribbon. Check out SheridanCountyFairgrounds.com for details and times.
Good morning. Welcome back to Public Pulse. Proudly brought to you by our friends out there at First Federal Bank and Trust. I'm Floyd Whining. On August 9th, beginning at 12:30, take the family down to the Whitney Commons Park in Sheridan. Bring a blanket or some lawn chairs. You're going to hear amazing music. You're going to hear poetry. You're going to see artists from all over the region create their works, and you can actually learn how to create your own work as well. Speaking with us this morning is the president of the Bighorn Arts Collective and the executive director of the Brenton Museum, Kendra Heimbach, and founding member of the Bighorn Arts Collective and executive director of the Wyo Performing Arts and Education Center, Aaron Butler. Now, Kendra, as we look at what has taken place in the past, the Celebrate the Arts events, they were kind of scattered around. I can remember covering those, trying to coordinate, you know, am I making sure that I'm getting everybody a story about everyone, you know? So sure. I can understand the, you know, having to run back and forth a little bit about this. How has this really changed, or has it? Can we even see the effects, how it's changed the art community around us?
Yeah, that's a great question, Floyd. I don't know if we can see it quite yet, but I do think the goal of the festival really is to celebrate the arts, to present a kind of across all the different disciplines, opportunities for the community to access the arts, and to build upon Sheridan's identity as a cultural hub. And so really our goal is that you can see that and you can experience it all in one day. And so I think we're doing that, but as far as kind of longer impacts and measuring that, we're year two. So yeah. I think that's still something that we got to get our hands around, is how to measure that impact.
5 or 6 years from now, I'm going to ask you that same question.
Yeah. Well, no. Yes.
And when we start seeing the budding little artists walk around saying, well, I went to an arts festival once and fell in love with this or that.
Yeah.
Now, before I get too far, I did have to kind of forego something. There is going to be food, wine, and some beer at this arts festival. Tell me a little bit about that, if you wouldn't mind.
Yeah, most definitely. Because we want people to come and stay, enjoy the afternoon out at Whitney Commons. And so we will have right there in the parking lot of the hub, we're going to have a section with some food trucks and beverages available. So joining us this year will be Kona Ice, the Colombian Guy Coffee Van, Pete Zaw, Fatback, Southern Barbecue. And Blacktooth will be there as well, selling beverages, both, you know, alcoholic and non-alcoholic. So
a
little bit for everyone.
Parking lot full of folks.
Exactly. Yes.
That's fantastic. I thought maybe a food truck here or there, but man, you're going to have a good, good sized group out there. Well, that's fantastic. Just about anything that you want to eat is going to be offered. Now, for folks who want to pitch in, if someone out there is listening and they're like, you know what, this sounds like something I'd really love to be involved in, whether they be artists, volunteers, maybe even a sponsor or two. I don't know if you guys take sponsors, but I thought I'd ask, how do they get involved?
Good question.
Yeah.
I think that really, hopefully many folks who are interested have a connection to at least one of the organizations we've mentioned that's helping to put on this festival. And easy enough to get a hold of whomever you're most connected to, whether that be SAGE or the WIO or the Brinton or UCross or SBAC or the Nelchi Center. And then we could, you know, make sure that you're put in the right space. But generally, you can go to our website, which is, what is it, Sheridan?
BighornArtsCollective.org.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, it's new. We put this out with the announcement of the festival this year. So the BighornArtsCollective.org. Thanks, Aaron, for bringing up our website.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And on there, there's a volunteer tab. You can fill out a form if you're interested in volunteering. We do need help with setting the festival up, tearing it down, Those great demonstrations and workshops I mentioned earlier on the show, we could use some help with just facilitating those and supporting the instructors and the artists. And then the creation station as well. We need some help with wrangling art supplies, handing them out, keeping that space tidy so that our little creatives are able to create as long as they want without creating, you know, without painting Whitney Commons. I don't think they'll yeah. enjoy that.
Purple grass. I've always wanted to see purple grass.
Yeah.
Now, what kind of ripple effect, Aaron, are you hoping that having a festival of this size and magnitude has in the art community?
So I want to bring up Kim. Kim Love, whom we all, you know and appreciate and just take a minute to acknowledge him.
Yeah.
Absolutely. And say that I remember him talking about this very thing for years.
Yeah.
Right? He in his Kim way, the way in which he spoke about things, which is not passionate. you know, we need a thing downtown. We need a thing to bring people here. We need an arts thing. So when I think about what I hope for the festival to achieve, it goes hand in hand with what I just recall Kim being so passionate about.
Yeah.
And it is 100% to me about always in my mind, the arts are always about bringing people together. But also about, as Kendra already mentioned, positioning Sheridan and Sheridan County as this cultural hub in Wyoming, and that people will see that. And though they come for rodeo and all the other great things that Sheridan has to offer, that perhaps eventually they'll also come to celebrate the arts, yeah. In whatever way that is, and perhaps it's at the festival. And we have lots of work to do as a collective, I think, mm-hmm. that is more than just the festival. You know, there's great things to come, I hope. Mm-hmm. Lots to be achieved by our united efforts. But I think that, you know, Kim lives on in the things we do. And I hope we honor his memory with what we're trying to achieve with the festival.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
I couldn't agree with you more on that. You know, if Kim, from wherever he's at, is looking at us going, you did good,
mm-hmm.
we're good, then mission accomplished for sure. Kendra, as the president, you know, when we look at the collective and where it goes next, what would you like to see?
Now, if we could look 10 years out, I'd love to see the Collective Arts Festival as this known event that happens every year, the summertime in Sheridan. Maybe it's multiple days. We've expanded the yeah. stage. But it's this, we're on the map. Again, back to Aaron said it well, placing Sheridan County on the map, known for the arts. And that would be a great marker of success, and would love to see the festival go that way. The Bighorn Arts Collective as well. You know, we have goals of seeing this collaborative effort, you know, really solidified, and perhaps even having a staff member that works to that's out, you know, a community arts organizer that's just that can help to focus the attention of our Sheridan community around the arts, and think mm-hmm. about, you know, it just how are the arts intertwined and folded into everything that we're doing. Because I think Aaron said it really well. It's about bringing community together, and through the arts, we can do that. We can strengthen our community in a lot of intangible ways, but truly, I think we can benefit our community from an economic development standpoint as well. Mm-hmm. And so, at the Bighorn Arts Collective, we see that there's so much potential. There are so many our organizations represent just the strength of the community. You know, there are so many great folks involved in what all of our organizations are doing, and we continue to just come back to how can we collectively elevate and bring and leverage all of these resources and this community goodwill to further impact the community.
Yeah. And you know, when you look at all these fantastic organizations, it's the community.
Mm-hmm.
It's the people out there who were supporting them. It's the people going to the shows. It's the people going to the exhibits. It's the people who were running up to have some breakfast.
Yep.
It's as a community, it's obvious that this is something everyone wants and supports. You look at the art downtown. You look at the absolute spreading of museums throughout this entire region. And you know, this place is a place of art and creativity. And I have a fantastic job because I get to speak to a lot of you. And it's inspiring. One more time. Where can I go to learn more?
Our website, which is
visit bighornartscollective.org for our festival lineup, more information about our organizing entities and to get involved, to volunteer. And you asked about sponsorship earlier. There is a donate button on that page as well, which all of those funds go directly into supporting the presentation of the Collective Arts Festival.
Ladies, I want to thank you so much for coming in this morning and speaking with me. I greatly appreciate you, and I look forward to the Arts Festival.
Yeah.
Thank you.
Thank you.
All right, you've been listening to Public Pulse on 930 KROE, 103.9 FM, Sheridan.
Since 1935, First Federal Bank and Trust has been a cornerstone of Sheridan.
And to celebrate 90 years of community commitment, we're donating $90,000 to 10 nonprofit organizations in Sheridan. Each month through November, we'll honor our legacy of community support by investing in a local nonprofit.
This month, First Federal will award $9,000 to CHAPS Equine Assisted Therapy.
90 years, $90,000. Community commitment at its finest. Visit eFirstFederal.bank, member FDIC.
Mark your calendars, Sheridan. Something lucky is landing soon. Lucky Sevens Gaming Parlor, the first one in the state, on Coffeen Avenue. We're bringing you the latest gaming experience. From high-stakes games to nail-biting horse racing action. And when you're ready for a break, step into our new full-service bar for a cold drink and happy-go-lucky vibes. You've got the charm, and we've got your Lucky Sevens. Check us out at LuckySevensWY.com. Must be 21 or older to play. Please game responsibly.
Save big money on your landscaping project at Menards. We're your destination for concrete landscaping blocks. Whether you're installing a patio or adding a new retaining wall, we have the largest in-stock selection ready to take home today. Plus, get free estimates fast using our landscape design program in-store or on Menards.com. Save big on landscape blocks when you shop at Menards. And check out our weekly flyer on Menards.com for all the great deals happening now.
Save big money at Menards.
Doug, my summer checklist is growing faster than my yard.
Let me guess. Oil change, new tires, maybe a good detail for your vehicle. Waring Chevrolet is a full-service dealership. We can handle it all, Bob.
Tires first. Mine look like marshmallows.
Well, we got a price match guarantee on top brand tires.
For that oil change and tune-up?
Our experts will have it running smooth.
And that dent, let's just say I'm at a picnic table?
Our collision center will fix it up, and our detailing shop will make it shine like new.
Waring Chevrolet, it's the only stop you need this summer. 107 East Alger online, waringsheridan.com.
This is Tim Kerr, General Manager at Frackleton's, inviting you to join us downtown for the fresh flavors of our new spring and summer menu. From vibrant seasonal dishes crafted with local ingredients to crisp wines and refreshing handcrafted cocktails, we've captured the spirit of the season in every bite and sip. Come in, unwind, and taste what Wyoming summer feels like. Inviting you to join us downtown for the fresh flavors of our new spring and summer menu. Only at Frackleton's, where every season tastes like a celebration.
This is Ed McIntosh with your song requests on Classic Country Sunday. We're live from 8 until noon every Sunday on KWY.